It's good to be a Christian. It's good to be a Christian, as Brother Charlie says, not because I'm better, but I just, it's a blessing to know what's coming, and it's a blessing to know that God's in control. If you lose sight of God being in control, you're going to fall to pieces. That's both in the world, in your own personal life, in your home. A lot of families fall to pieces when God steps out or is kicked out. And let's be careful not to let that happen. Let's pray here tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to have service again. God, it's a privilege to be able to meet together with the sole purpose of honoring and glorifying you. God, I pray as your word is preached here tonight that God, you'd be pleased, that there would be no moments of flesh. And God, I just retire myself to you. God, I pray that you'd put the thoughts, and Lord, if I have something written down that I ought not to say, Lord, have me just skip over that. If there's something I should be saying that's not written down, Lord, I pray you'd put that in my heart and in my mind. Lord, we desire not to hear from me, but to hear from you tonight. Lord, use your word in a powerful way. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, get your Bibles out tonight. Head over to Hebrews chapter number 10. It's going to be a minute before we get there, but it'll give you something to do as I just kind of, again, clean up a little bit from that last song. That touched my heart. Hebrews chapter number 10. As a dad, as a parent, it's always nice. You know, we have kind of assigned chores at the house. Anybody have assigned chores? You've been doing that certain chore forever and ever. I don't know why, but sometimes we still need to ask our children to do the chores that they've been given to do. Like, this is what you do every day. And then sometimes it doesn't get done. And then you got to ask them to do that. Anybody else's kids do that sometimes, or is it just ours? Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you, Megan. I appreciate that. Maybe you personally at a workplace, this is your job, but sometimes the manager, supervisor's got to come over and ask you again to do what you're supposed to do. I love when my kids just do what they're supposed to do. That they choose voluntarily to do what they're supposed to do. I don't even care if they enjoy it. But it is nice that when they do it with a good heart, a right spirit, a right attitude, you know, whatever it is, whether it's doing the dishes or taking out the trash, or every Wednesday, there's a truck that pulls up in front of our house. And he takes all of the stuff we don't want. We put it in this little tote out front, and he comes up with this big truck, and we pay him ridiculous amounts of money to take the stuff we don't want. But he comes out. Man, it's so nice Wednesday morning or something when I'm pulling out of the car or out of the driveway, and I look down at the end of the driveway, and the garbage bin is already there. I know it sounds silly, and it sounds, and I'm going somewhere with it, but it is so nice when we do things voluntarily rather than being forced to. And I just think about that thought in our own Christian walk. What a difference you get in the outcome of things when you approach things. And tonight's message, it's a kind of maybe a little play on words or whatever. And maybe we're fighting over a hairline of different wording, and maybe you can make a case for it. But I would like to pursue this thought. Get to versus got to. And in our own personal Christian life, there's some things that we maybe approach as, I've got to do these, rather than, I get to do these things. Amen. And there's a big difference. And in my heart and in my mind, I know what I'm trying to say, and I hope by the end of the message, so do you. In Hebrews chapter number 10, I told you to turn there, but I didn't. In Hebrews chapter number 10, a simple verse, a verse we've gone to many a times. Bible encourages us in verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Hebrews 10:24. It says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I have 5 points here tonight, and maybe some touch and maybe some don't. If it doesn't, if the Holy Spirit of God or the Word of God isn't dealing with you in your heart, all right, maybe you got this thing under control. I'm not trying to beat anybody up, but the difference between gotta go to church versus getting to go to church. So what's the difference? It's just one little letter. It's an attitude. I'm telling you, and I know we're still maybe riding the wave of that Zambia trip, but when that music started playing at 6:30 in the morning, worshiping the Lord and whatever it was that they were doing, they had this little keyboard. It has this unique sound that I will not be able to get. It's not like a piano. And there they are, singing at 6:30, and service ends at 10 o'clock at night. And they're sticking around, still singing and doing stuff. I just got to look at that and go, you don't got to do this. In their mind, we get to go. There was a level of Christianity in Zambia that maybe, I don't know, do we want that here? You know, tomorrow's back at the workplace. Tomorrow you're going to get up, and I don't know what time your alarm goes off. Isaiah, I don't know. What do you have an alarm? Does it work? I don't know. All right. And there it goes, and your alarm clock goes off. Maybe it goes off at 6 and 7, and you swing your legs out of the bed, and your feet hit that cold floor, and you're just like, all right, here we go, another week. Is that how you approach Sunday morning? Come on, guys, time to wake up. We got to go to church. Pulling kids by their big toe out of their bed at 9 o'clock. It's amazing how hard it is to sometimes get to church by 10 or even 11 o'clock, but yet we can be at work by 7. Say, what's the difference? Got to get to. Again, I'm not saying, I love coming to church. I love the fellowship. Praise the Lord. Are you excited about worshiping God? The night before we left for our trip to Zambia, I couldn't sleep well. Say, why not? Well, number one, I have this awful fear of missing flights. Number two, I was just way too excited. I was super excited. I knew I had to be. What time do we get to airport? 6? Around that? Maybe 6:15? I don't remember. I think it was 6. 5:30. Was it 5:30? It got pushed out an hour. 5:30. Originally it was going to be 4. And then we got to sleep in an extra hour and a half. And there we were. Smiles on our faces, excited about going to Zambia, Africa at 5:30 in the morning. Man, wouldn't it be something? Again, I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just saying a different attitude of things. Wouldn't it be something if we got here at 8:30 in the morning, Sunday morning, and there was already a line? Man, I just can't wait to get in here. I want to get a good seat. I'm excited about worshiping the Lord. Hey, your excitement of getting to come to church, that wears off, or that transferred to your children. The things that you schedule on Sundays shows your children what it is that's most important. Are you excited about, the difference between getting to and got to? The got to crowd looks at their watch and says, what time do we get out of here? Because it becomes no longer a voluntary action of service and worship of God. It's a simply a time obligation. And may that, I don't necessarily sense that in our church service, but we want to be careful that that never takes root in our heart. Leading up to worship, and are you praying for the preaching in your own heart to receive it with an open heart? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Hey, I want to encourage you. Get to church. We get to go to church. Proverbs 27, look here. A few years ago, we couldn't come to church. Remember that? These doors were closed. They were locked. I'm doing service from a table in my living room with the Duralimans. Had this little, I think, cutout cross behind me there. And I'm talking to you and not able to see you. How was that? Awful. Hated it. See, what's the benefit of coming to church? Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron. So man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Hey, there's an encouragement here. There's a help here. Look at Acts chapter 20. Thought I was kidding around about 2 hours. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, Paul says this in verse, look at verse 6. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. All right. So we got Paul's calendar, right? He left this one place, took him 5 days to get there. Now he stayed 7 days in a city called Troas. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. Paul was leaving on what day? He was leaving on Monday. He spent 7 days there. They were having a special service that first day of the week, it says. And he continued preaching. It says that Paul preached and continued his speech until midnight. Whoa. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. We know the story. Eutychus had a hard time keeping awake. Maybe he had a little something to eat, and he falls out of the window, and, you know, he died. Well, he gets, you know, and Paul does a miracle there. And but could you imagine? Say, why on earth would someone want to be in church till midnight? That's a long service. Because they get to. Not because they got to. No one's forced to come to church. I don't want you to ever feel like, hey, if I don't go, pastor's going to be upset with me, or you. I don't ever want to make you feel guilty for not coming. But I want you to want to come. Because there's a different attitude when we get to do something versus got to. It changes our worship. Hey, we get to worship the King of Kings with our entire being together. It's an opportunity to get involved. There'd be no youth choir if there was no church. There'd be no Sunday school, junior church. Brother Rodell preached junior church for us today, right? How'd that go?
Good.
Right? Yeah. Was it good? Brother Zeke says yes. All right, good. He kept you awake? All right, good. There'd be no involvement in that. Our young people wouldn't be taught or taught the scriptures on a regular basis. We send a bus out to pick up kids that can't get here by themselves. No churches, no involvement. How about this? What's the difference between got to teach versus get to teach? Oh, this is my week for Sunday school. I've got to teach. How do you think that lesson goes? How do you think the effort of study and effort towards that class goes? I'll tell you how it goes. They're simply fulfilling an obligation, doing the least amount that they have to do. But when you get to teach, there's study, there's prayer, there's preparing, and the question is asked, What more can I do? I'm so encouraged by the McDowells. McDowells have a service with our teenagers Sunday morning. They have service with our teenagers Wednesday. And he's asking me, can we have a Friday night service with our teenagers? Where some people are trying to get away from teenagers, he says, I want more time with them. Say, well, you know, he works a full-time job and he doesn't get to see. He works with our teenagers Monday through Friday in the school. This guy's not here because he's got to be. His attitude towards our young people is, I get to be. Absolutely invaluable. What do you got to do? Hey, we got special meetings. We got to go to... I'm telling you, you're missing out on a blessing. You got the wrong attitude. It's not going to go well, and you will breed an attitude in your own family and in your own home that worshiping God is not important. No, we don't got to go to church. No. We get to go to church. And every time, I remember Mike Metzger, I sat down with him, I was in 10th grade. It was that summer, getting ready to go into my junior year of high school. I was at Eastridge High School in East Irondequoit. I sat down with Mike Metzger. I said, what can I do? He said this, Nick, maybe you can take a Bible Institute class. I'm teaching a survey class. Take that. I was in 10th, 11th grade. I was in 11th grade. I said, okay, I'll sign up for that. I said, what else can I do? He goes, every time the church doors are open, you be here. I said, why? He goes, because you have no idea what God's going to talk to you about here. I changed my life. That helped me. I didn't have to go to church. I got to go to church. You get to go to church. Well, I got to go to church. No, I get to go to church. I got to teach Sunday school. No, you get to teach Sunday school. You got 6, 8, 10 little kids looking at you, demanding of you the Word of God. Hey, take that thing serious. Be all in on that. Don't be reading the lesson on the way to church. That's got to. No, spend some time in prayer ahead of time. That's the get to. Number one, we got the get to versus the got to and going to church. Number two, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. First Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. I don't know what aspect of your faith or your Christianity or your walk with the Lord is the most difficult. I've asked a lot of people this question. Is it easier to pray or read your Bible? More people say it is easier to read their Bible. One of the greatest struggles Christians have is finding time to pray. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. How many times have you gone throughout the whole entire day outside of the token prayer for meals, which is right and we should? How much time do you spend praying? Well, when tragedy hits, when all of a sudden our life gets turned upside down, it's amazing how we find time to talk to God. But in the day-to-day life, we just sometimes tell God, I got this. Why don't you take a back seat? I'll let you know when I need you. That's the difference between got to pray versus get to pray. Do you understand that we get to talk to the Almighty God? The same God that walked up to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, calling himself the Almighty God, he wants to hear from you, the Almighty God. What an opportunity to pray. I like to ask our young people questions, and I ask them, if you could ask the president any question, what would it be? It's always funny to hear their questions. Sometimes I don't think they understand the role of the president. You know, it's like, can I have mac and cheese tonight or something, like, you know, depending on how young they are. Hey, have you got to talk to the one that made the entire universe, sits on an eternal throne, that has all knowledge, all power, and is eternal himself? What would you ask him? Oh, we would think, okay, I got to ask him a special question. Do you understand that you could talk to him all the time? You get to talk to God himself. And listen, much like Roger said, I had this written down before he said it, he can't wait to communicate with us. He's just, I don't know if we could look at this way. He's sitting on his throne, sitting on the edge of the seat, thinking, please talk to me. Waiting to hear from you. Say, but I'm a mess. I got things a mess. I have nothing good to talk to him about. I know when my kids, they have a certain tone or a certain way. Hey, Dad, can I talk to you for a second? It's usually because there's a problem. Our normal day-to-day conversation, they don't start it with that. They don't need to announce that they're about to talk to me about something. Dad, can we go over here and all of a sudden the door closes behind me. All of a sudden, whoa, it is serious now. How about us and the Lord? Oh, I forgot, I got to pray. Wednesday night, we got to go to prayer meeting. How about I get to talk to Almighty God? Say, but my life's a mess. It's in shambles. He doesn't want to hear from me. I beg to differ. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Do you know, listen, not only does the Lord love you, but this is something special. Listen now. God not only loves you, but he cares about you. He careth for you. He says this, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. See, every time I go to the Lord, I have troubles, I have problems. And he says, that's what I want to talk about. I want to help you through all of that. But I need you to talk with me. And isn't it great to know that he cares for you? I told you a while ago, we were down in Tennessee, got an infection in Tennessee. I don't know. It was my negligence and myself. Had a, on the way back, we were about a half an hour on the car ride and stopped at one of those urgent care places, right? Gave me a shot, to which was incredibly uncomfortable, and thought everything was all set. Gave them, you know, my insurance information, and oh yeah, come on right in. About a month or so later, all of a sudden I got a bill for $300. I thought you cared about me. Y'all were so nice with your southern slow drawl telling me about Jesus and all that. And then you sent me a bill. You didn't care about me. You just had a business to run. Do you know God has no alternate agenda? That he truly does care for you. You could go to one and talk to him knowing that he always cares for you. Oh, I gotta talk to the one that gave up his life for mine. I've got to bring all my issues before him. He's probably gonna make it better. You see how wrong that attitude is? No, we get to talk to God. If I told you tomorrow, Ryan, I'm going to invite you out for lunch. We're having a meeting with the mayor. Oh, man, you'd get dressed up. You'd maybe have a little index card, if I know Ryan, with some questions, some thoughts. maybe a little piece of paper to sign. We'd get ready for that. We'd be excited about that. Why? That person's important. I get to have lunch with the mayor. I get to talk to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords anytime I want to. I don't got to pray. I get to pray. God established that line of communication when he died on the cross and paid for my sin. I called him Father, he called me Son, and now we have a line of communication that we never had before. Not only do I get to go to church, not only do I get to pray, I get to read. At the end of the night, we realize that we haven't read our Bible, and we respond with, oh, I have to read my Bible before I go to sleep. I understand what we're saying, but do you understand that your Bible reading is not a chore? Matthew chapter number 4, go there. Let's look at this. How's everybody doing tonight? Are we doing okay? Mrs. K, you okay back there?
Good,
all right, good. We're about to hit our first Monday of the school year. Kids are a little bracing for impact. Is it chilly in here? I did that on purpose to keep everyone awake. We got the air conditioning fixed. Yep. Isn't that a blessing? Did I tell you Matthew chapter 4? Good. Did I tell you verse 4? No. Okay, go to verse 4. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Imagine if we approached our daily life like this. If I'm going to succeed in my Christian walk and walking as a spiritual man, I better get a firm, strong, full diet of God's word. I get to have this. Last night, I was putting a couple things away in the kitchen. We have this cabinet right next to the sink. So we have our plates and cups and that kind of stuff in the cabinet. Right next to it is our bread cabinet. That's where we keep our bread and coffee and things, a couple shelves. And I was putting something away in there, and I saw bagels. Big bagels, not like the Lender little bagels, like full-size bagels. And I thought, as I woke up this morning, I was reading a little bit, I was excited knowing, I went to bed last night knowing tomorrow morning I'm going to have an egg sandwich. I'm going to take that bagel and I'm going to toast it. I'm going to put an egg and cheese and it's going to be messy and delicious. And I was excited about getting up and having breakfast. Do we approach the Word of God the same way? He's got something for me. I cannot wait to get up and just spend some time with God together. Hey, kids, time to get up. We gotta get our chores done. You gotta read your Bible. Is there a desire in your heart? This is not a chore. This is the Holy Word of God. Sophie came into my room today. I was studying a little bit. Where's Sophie? Is she in the nursery? Oh, there you are. And I was studying a little bit. I think that's what I was doing. I was sitting on the bed just reviewing some of the stuff this afternoon. She's like, she comes in, sits down on the bed right next to me. She's like, look what I got. She brings out a little piece of paper. Right? A little card. She's like, Mr. Rice wrote me a nice card about moving up. I don't know if she hasn't memorized, but I'm sure she's read it a couple times. Why, that was something special for her. This is something special for us. I don't got to read my Bible. No. I get to read my Bible. I get to have personal, intimate time with God himself. This is an opportunity to nourish our soul with the eternal word of God. Oh, it's not a chore. It's an opportunity. You know, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, referencing the book of Revelation, that there's a blessing just reading the book of Revelation. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it tells us to study the Word of God. Why? Because it's profitable. It's beneficial. It's worthwhile. If I told you, Nate, hey, listen, every chapter you read, I'm going to give you $10. Every chapter. Ooh. All of a sudden, we have time to read the Word of God. Why? Because it all of a sudden became profitable. It's profitable whether someone puts $10 in your pocket or not. Look at Psalm 119. Nate's like, is that true? Like, because I'm about to do that. No, Nate, it was just an illustration, buddy. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I'm simple. I understand all the things, and I need the Word of God to give me wisdom and direction and light and understanding. This book is beyond its value. Say, how much does the Bible cost? Well, you can get a Bible for $5. But the value of the Word of God coming into our hearts and into our minds beyond measure. I don't got to read the Bible. I get to read the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Say, how many more of these do you have? Just two. But they're quick. I'm going to start calling you Eutychus. I've thought of a lot of things. You know, sometimes I understand people with medication and things, like sometimes they doze off in service. And all right. It used to bother me. It doesn't bother me anymore. I mean, Hudson used to, like, position himself like, I'm going to sleep. Like, he would try and put himself to sleep. He would nuzzle in and say, I'm checking out. Like, once youth choir was done, I'm out of here. Let me know when it's done. And it doesn't bother me that bad. It just bothers me that the Word of God is being preached and we can just... And I understand sometimes we're like on those dinner on the grounds days, the afternoon, that's tough. That's tough for me and I'm the one talking. But it'd be neat to like have a super soaker or like airsoft. Those are the things that I think about. All right, sounds good. We don't got to go to church, we get to go to church. We don't have to pray, we get to pray. I don't got to read my Bible, I get to read my Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. If those three went over so well, wait till you see this one. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. It said it right there. You don't got to. You get to give. We get to give our money to the work of the Lord. What better investment could we make? If I came in here and said, hey, listen, I got a foolproof plan. Listen, you give your money here, and no matter what you give, this thing transferred every single time. We're going to take those few dollars that you give, and we're going to turn it into gold and silver and precious stones. What better investment in the work of God? We ought not to, I understand times are tough. Chicken went from $2 a pound to $3 a pound. That's chicken. Can't even tell you about the beef. Gas prices. They've come down. They have not come down. People are lying. Those that are in charge are telling you that they're lowering. It has gone very high. I was excited. I was excited because I got gas for $3.85 the other day. Excited. I'm calling people, texting people, sending proof. Look at this. Where'd you get that? I understand times are tough. But there's one line on our budget that ought not to be cut. And that's giving to God's work. Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6 and verse 38. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." God sees. And you don't got to give. There's no like dues. I was talking to a guy and at his family's, not his church, but a different church he was familiar with, there were dues to go to church. Like it cost like, do you remember how much it was, Sam? It was like $300 a year to, and the guy laid out of church for a while and then wanted to come back. And they're like, "You owe back years." He's like, "Well, I'm not coming if I have to pay back stuff." They're like, "Goodbye." And he's like, No. You should forgive him of all of that and just let him start coming." They're like, "Well, you can't do that." Could you imagine getting charged to come to church? Lydia, what do you think of that? That's crazy. We get to give to the work of the Lord. The gospel is sent all throughout this world. Little people's lives are forever changed. Your life maybe has been changed through this place. That's a worthwhile investment. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 8 asks this question, "Will a man rob God?" He said, "Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings?" He answers, "You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me even with this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith." God says, test it. Give. "Oh, I got to give to church." No. I get to give to the Lord. We're simply giving back to God, and that's a privilege. You have a job because God has allowed you to get a job. He's allowed you to earn. And we can talk about tithes, and we can talk about the difference in offerings, but we don't got to give. You work for a larger company. They have something called the 401k. Do you know what that is, Chloe? Me either, but it sounds nice. I guess you can take money and put it away in a retirement account. And then sometimes the company matches that. So if you put $100 in a retirement account, the company says, "Okay, we'll match up to a certain amount." Sounds nice. You understand that when you give to the work of the Lord, He far exceeds what we ever give. He calls attention to a woman that put two mites in, and He says, "She gave more than all you guys." Why? Because He could see her heart, and she did it out of love. We don't got to. We get to. You know, when we get to heaven, lastly, Mark chapter 16. The Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." I got to believe that God's word is somehow going to be attached to all eternity. I don't know if we're going to read it. I don't know if we're going to see it. I don't know if it's going to be plastered all over the walls of the city. I don't know how it is, but it says forever. And we'll be able to communicate with God because He'll be right there. We talked about that this morning. And we'll be able to worship together for all eternity. It says that in Revelation chapter number 5. But there's something we will not be able to do when we get to heaven. Brother Van, there'll be no time to witness anymore. When we get to heaven, it'll be too late to witness for the Lord. So we get to now. Talked a little bit about the seriousness of the place of heaven and hell, two real places. And every single person is going to one of those two places. I've heard this said, and I would like to maybe poke a hole in it just for a moment. Well, I witness by living a good life, and I will let someone through my testimony come to Christ. It sounds good, and it removes the burden of me having to go to someone and say, "Can I tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ?" It just allows me to live without having to be verbal. But can I just ask you for a moment, how did you come to Christ? Just think about it. Someone told me. There was a man that sat down at a little kitty table at a weird daycare, because that's where we were having church as this church was just starting. And he told me about the Lord Jesus Christ, who about 30 minutes before was a complete stranger. But the power of the Word of God showed me Mark chapter 16. Are you there? Mark 16, look at verse 15. Mark 16, 15, it says this. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Yes, we are to live a godly, holy life. But we're to actively preach the gospel. We are to witness. We don't got to witness. We get to. Again, I don't know what Brother Van does every week, and Michael. But he's, Brother Van, are you retired?
Am I retired?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm not retired from the Lord.
Exactly. You know what he could do? He could live down in Florida. He could play shuffleboard. He could. No. He's up here living 2 minutes away from a college campus, going into the campus, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he gets to. And every day we're surrounded by people that need the Lord. Oh, I got to grab my tracks. No, no. You don't got to grab your tracks. You get to grab some gospel tracks. And you're going to have an opportunity today to tell someone that God loves them and died for them, and that they need the Lord Jesus Christ. We get to witness. We don't got to. Heaven's pretty amazing, if we think about it. Heaven is a perfect, holy place. It's perfect. There's no sin. There's no evil. There's nothing wicked about it at all. And yet, you and I get to go in. How is that possible? How is it possible that a sinner like me gets to go to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ? But not only this, we get to bring as many people as we can. It's not limited to just us. You know, the Threns are coming next week. And as the pastor, I'll have an opportunity to spend some time with them. And man, I wish I could invite everybody out. Number one, there's no place that could facilitate that. Number two, I just can't afford that. They have 10 kids. That's a lot. But one day, and I would love to be able to take you out and go do those things together, and we try and do stuff here where we can all fellowship. But do you understand that heaven, as wonderful it is, as it is, you're not like, man, I wish I could invite you, but I just can't. There's just not enough room. No, there's plenty of room in heaven. We don't got a witness. We get to. And we can bring as many people to heaven as we can. So I'm just going to ask you to evaluate your own heart tonight. What have you approached as got to versus get to? Maybe not all of them. There were five things. Number one, we get to go to church. and we get to pray, and we get to read the Word of God, we get to give to God's work, and lastly, we get to witness. Is there something you've been reluctant to do? Has there been an attitude in your hearts that you feel like you've been forced to? Hey, don't do any of this stuff because you got to. I'm telling you, it will be so much different of what you get out of it if you approach the Word of God, not that I have to read His Word, but I get to. When you walk into this building, I don't have to be in church. I get to be in church. I'm going to sit right up front so I don't miss anything. Wednesday night prayer meeting, you can't keep me home. Starting my day with prayer? Are you kidding me? I get to talk to. When you walk out of these set of double doors and there's that little basket there, I'm just going to pretend I don't even see it. We don't pass the plate anymore. Therefore, I don't got to give. No, we get to give. How about our witness? Who are you talking to about the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's all stand. Do you see the difference in attitude? Do you see the difference in outcome? Man, I love when I pull out of the driveway on that Wednesday morning and I see the trash can sitting already there. That means someone did something without me having to ask them to. Mom, can we help you clear the table? Who are you and what have you done with our children? Dad, you look busy today, so I took it upon myself to weed whack our yard. Somebody call an ambulance. How about approaching the Word of God? Not because I'm forced to, not because I have to, but because I get to. Next Sunday when the church doors are open and it's that Sunday morning and that alarm clock says 9:00, time to get up. And you're like, oh, it's so early. Even though I get up at 4 and 5 for work, for some reason Sunday morning 9:00 feels late. Oh, you know what? I'm going to skip Sunday school. We'll go to worship service. Come on, guys. We got to go to church. No. We get to do all these things. Maybe the Lord touched your heart about something. Maybe you're thinking and your heart isn't right in a certain area. Here we have something called an altar. And I invite you to come. I invite you to come forward and get something right. Lord, I've approached my Bible reading as a duty. I've approached prayer as a chore, rather than getting to talk to the Almighty God. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation now. God, thank you. Thank you that you're so patient with us. Thank you that you are gracious and merciful. Lord, I pray you'd help our hearts, help our attitudes to do these things lovingly, cheerfully. Not because we have to, but because we get to. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, as the Lord has worked in your heart. Hey, Sunday school teacher, is it your week that you've got to teach? Or do you get to teach this week? Have you spent time in study and prayer and preparing? Are you asking, hey, Brother Bauman, what more can I do for our children's Sunday school ministry? Miss Colby, is there something I can do to help out on bus? Hey, this is your church. Not what you have to do, but what you get to do. Have you approached the Word of God as a chore rather than an opportunity? I promise you what you get out of it will be significant.